Good evening. This is Life Rattle, the story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1262, we present stories by two new Life Rattle writers, Morgan Goodwin and Tyler McLaren. Tonight's program features the work of two young writers, both in university, both finding their way in the adult world of relationships, romantic and platonic. Not surprisingly, they each have written a story about unreturned romantic interest, one from each side of that unpleasant equation. Our first writer, Morgan Goodwin, was born in 1991 in Edmonton, Alberta. Her parents moved to the United Arab Emirates when she was 8 years old, and then moved the family to Qatar when she was 15. Morgan graduated high school and took 2 years off to live in Australia with friends before returning to Canada to study. All the years spent in warm climates have spoiled Morgan rotten, so that when winter rolls around each year, she wears a ridiculous amount of layers and complains constantly about the cold. Morgan Goodwin is currently doing her Bachelor of Arts in Women and Gender Studies and Art History. In her story tonight, Morgan brilliantly captures the state of awkwardness, the acute awkwardness of a certain age, and the discomfiting awkwardness of having another's attention bestowed upon you when you don't feel the same spark. Let's listen now as Morgan Goodwin reads her story, Fridays. Tonight on Life Rattle.
Fridays by Morgan Goodwin. My unmade bed sits in the corner, covered with more pillows than any one person needs for sleep. An oversized gray corner desk stands beside it and extends all the way to the window on the far side. I glance out the window and see a student dressed as if Siberian weather had descended on the city. I notice my cell phone vibrate on the desk. I sigh and read the text message. Martin wants to meet me at my place. Sure, I reply. He lives just across the hall from me and my roommates, Haley, Taylor, and Kim. Martin has been trying to speak to me for weeks. 2 weeks ago, on Friday night, out of curiosity, I agreed to have dinner with him. We met in the hall, said hi. Then I turned to go one way, and he turned in another direction. We looked at each other, and Martin deferred the decision to me. Pearson Hall, better known by the students as PH, is always quiet on Fridays. It's also the day when they serve the really crappy food, like rice, some stuff that looks like stew but actually winks at you, pasta, and nachos. I inspect each station. Sandwich bar, culinary table, chef's table, and menuet table, as Martin trailed behind me. What are you going to have? I asked. I'm not sure, he replied. What are you having? I smiled politely at him. I'm going for the mac and cheese. My stomach rolled, and I figured pasta would be the safest option. I grabbed a fork from a pile of cutlery at the counter and smiled at the lady wearing a hairnet who worked the station. Martin asked for rice and some weird meat that the sign claimed was beef, but actually looked more like World War II surplus spam. I picked up a bottle of Minute Maid orange juice from the fridge and walked to the cashier's counter. I handed the woman my tea card. I looked back at the clerk and saw her eyes had a dull, bored, glazed look. I couldn't blame her. She does this all day, every day. I inspected the candy bar in front of her register while she swiped the card. Then I turned and waited for Martin. Where do you want to sit? I asked. I don't know. Where would you like to sit? I quickly surveyed the room with its haphazardly arranged chairs, crooked tables, and tabletops littered with crumbs and brown crumpled napkins. I led us to a table at the back that looked respectably clean, and sat down on a chair. Martin followed and sat opposite me. So I saw on Facebook that you recently got back from Australia, he said. I shifted uncomfortably in my seat and took a forkful of mac and cheese. I hated my friends in that moment for tagging me in those photos. Why are you Facebook stalking me? If I wanted to tell you about myself, I would. God, so much for privacy. Yeah, I did. Did you have a good time? What did you do? I saw that you worked at a coffee cart. Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed it, although I'm not a big coffee drinker. Oh yeah? I used to work at a printing press where everyone was addicted to coffee, so the whole place smelled like coffee all the time. I can't stand the stuff now. Martin continued with the question, what's your favorite food? Pizza? I have no clue what my favorite things are. I just like stuff. Who's your favorite artist? I don't have one. My eyes start to look up at the ceiling, but I refrain from giving him a full eye roll. So, what program are you in? I asked. Computer engineering. Cool. What do you do? At the moment, I'm taking a course that is essentially about hacking. So you're being taught how to hack? Essentially, he replies. They can't really teach that, what with breaking the law and all. I nodded. We continued to talk about Martin and what he does. He does a lot. He looks to be around 27 years old. What is it with older men? I finish my mac and cheese before Martin and patiently wait for him to finish his dinner. We then made our way back to South Hall. I led the way and opened the doors. I tried to keep as much space as possible between us, but not so much that it would have looked weird as we walked the short space between the two buildings. We parted ways in the hall. Now, 2 weeks later, Martin wants to talk. What is it with Martin and Fridays? I stand in my room and look out the window when I hear the front door open. Jeez, can't he even knock? I rush out of my room, into the kitchen, living, dining room area. The grout between the tiles in the kitchen makes the floor look like a mud pit. No matter how many times we clean, the floor looks perpetually filthy. The rug that runs throughout the apartment shows that it can't decide whether the color is puke green, brown, or gray. It frays in places at the walls and has a huge bleach stain in the hallway. Martin, of average height, with dark hair and black rimmed glasses, stands by the door beside a hoard of shoes. I'm pretty sure a few have procreated. His short black beard makes him look old, creepy, and vaguely terrorist-like. I smile at him. Hey, I say. Hey, why don't you sit down? Martin ushers me to my own table near the front door. He grabs a chair, pulls it out, and sits down before I can even take a breath. His knee starts to jitter up and down. He clutches his hands on the table. I reluctantly sit down across from him. So, I like you. Fuck. I try not to show my expression of horror. My mind screams, why is this happening to me? Seriously. I was wondering if you feel the same. I force myself not to bolt from the room. My heartbeat quickens. I hope my voice doesn't quiver. I'm not looking for a relationship, and I don't want one. I'm sorry. It's just not for me, but I'd like for us to be friends. A list of reasons, platitudes, and something about my antisocialness gushes out of my mouth. I have no idea what I'm talking about. He nods at everything I say. Finally, he gets up to leave. I'll see you around. Martin walks out. Did that just happen? Oh balls. Why did I say those things? I calmly walk back to my room. I grab my backpack and transfer my wallet, keycard, T-card, and lip chap into my purse. I snatch up my purple university sweater, shove my arms through the sleeves, and hastily pull on my sneakers. I rush out of my room. lock the door, and half run, half walk to St. Michael's shuttle bus stop. I take a seat on the bus and lean my forehead against the cool window glass and stare out. I replay the scene over and over again in my head as the bus bumps and jolts. I take out my phone and text my younger sister, Ashley, who attends the St. Michael's campus. I type, "I'm coming to see you." Why didn't I handle the situation better? When is our next community meeting? Not for another 2 weeks. Thank God. I see Martin the following week when we pass each other in the hall. I smile at him. A couple of days later, I check Facebook and see that I have a notification from Martin. He has added me to our community Facebook page. We are known as the Beavers. Our Don makes all announcements about upcoming events on that page, and we can chat with anyone within the community. I click on the page and find the community list and see if I can delete my name. I scroll through the list. I realize I can't delete my name without looking like an antisocial shrew.
That was Fridays, written and read by Morgan Goodwin. Tonight's second reader, Tyler McLaren, says that he had a very boring birth in 1988 in Mississauga, Ontario. He is a fifth-generation Canadian and has lived his entire life in the same home with his sometimes happily married parents and older brother. After struggling with his weight throughout high school, Tyler discovered a passion for weightlifting and amateur boxing, and occasionally even talks to girls. He went on to study criminology, philosophy, and writing at university. Tyler hopes to graduate in the fall and eventually follow in his father's footsteps and become a police officer. Before doing that, however, he says he'd like to take some time to work on a novel or perhaps just binge drink and die young. Tyler, I think you should take your time to work on the novel. In Tyler's first story tonight, he also writes about unreturned romantic interest. But his take, brutal and honest, is from the other side. Tyler writes of frustration and disappointment in an absolutely flat manner that makes the story's moment of climax especially shocking. Let's listen now as Tyler McLaren reads his story, Clancy's.
Clancy's by Tyler McLaren. We sit with our butts in the trunk of my Ford Explorer. The trailer hitch sticks out between our feet. The trunk door blocks our view of the sky and keeps the snow out of our hair. Hannah rests her head on my shoulder. We kiss, drink Alexander Keith's, and talk about her family. She wants to move out. I tell her not to be dramatic. She shivers and her teeth chatter. I take her hands in mine and rub them together. She complains about my calluses. In my best Clint Eastwood voice, I tell her that hand cream is for pussies. She laughs and rubs her hands through my hair. I drive her home. Hannah says she'll text me tomorrow. My gloves stink of sweat and feet and vinegar. I shower them in peach-scented Febreze. I toss them in my gym bag along with wraps and rope and slam the trunk of my car. I trudge toward a giant black banner that reads Clancy's Boxing Academy. A bright green clover substitutes for the apostrophe. I swallow bottled water and check my cell phone. I pull open the door and stomp my shoes against the floor. Clumps of snow fall from my feet and onto the floor mat. I nod to Coach, who sits with his laptop open. His 8-year-old son, Andre, bounces on his knee. Andre waves excitedly at my arrival. He smiles, and I see gaps where teeth have fallen out. Hi, Tyler. Hi, Andre. Did you go see Iron Man 2? Yeah, it was so cool. That's good, buddy. Tyler, go warm up. Coach keeps a hand on Andre's shoulder so that he stays put. We'll hit pads. Yeah, Coach. Don't spend all day on the shitter this time, I say with a grin. He laughs. I check my phone again. Nothing. I wrap my hands, weaving between my fingers and over my knuckles. I clench my hands a few times. I check my phone, then start jumping rope. I alternate feet with every jump. Posters of the greats scatter the walls. Muhammad Ali, Roy Jones Jr., Floyd Mayweather Jr., Bernard Hopkins. Each one has a quote that says something about hard work or perseverance. I see Justin and the new guy, Arthur, who wants to learn to fight better for hockey. Justin hits the heavy bag. Arthur swings a sledgehammer against an old tire in the corner. He should be working on his punching technique. Fucking hockey players, I grumble. I trip on my rope and start over. I trip again after just a few jumps. I check my phone. I step up to the ring, lift one rope, and duck underneath. I shadowbox a little, but feel stiff and off balance. Tyler, you're going to move around with Arthur for a few. Coach points Arthur toward the headgear. Coach, can you just have him spar with Justin? I feel like shit. Come on, bro, Arthur chimes. Thought you were a fighter. He claps his gloved hands together loudly and smirks. Fucking hockey players. Coach tells Justin to get in the ring. I jump out. A red light blinks from my phone, followed by the sound of dripping water. I set Hannah's number up to have special notifications. Water drops and means a text. I read it. I don't know what to say about yesterday, but I can't do this now. Sorry. My sweat smears the screen. I decide to fight Arthur. I pop in my mouth guard and pace in my corner. Arthur stares at me from across the ring, chest puffed out. The buzzer sounds. Coach shouts, "Box." I keep my guard tight over my head and hunch to protect my midsection. Arthur stands upright, his hands down. I circle around the ring, leading with my right foot. Arthur plods forward. He swings big, hard, awkward hooks. I absorb his shots, tremors running through my forearms. He lands a hook to my cheekbone. He laughs and nods his head. Coach shouts at me to throw back. I do. I land one on Arthur's temple. He groans and puts his hands on his knees to stay up. Coach tells him he's done for the day. I mutter an apology. Nobody hears. I pack my gloves, wraps, and jump rope and head back out into the snow. I don't check my phone.
That was Clancy's, written and read by Tyler McLaren. In his second story, Tyler moves away from a romantic relationship to a long-term friendship between two young men growing even further apart. Let's listen now as Tyler McLaren reads The Coolest Kid in School.
The Coolest Kid in School by Tyler McLaren. I walk into the senior garden playground, staring at my shoes, and hope nobody talks to me. I make it as far as the seesaw before I crash into Mario Bozic. "What's your deal?" Mario shouts. "Are you scared?" "No," I whisper. "So look up, then." I look up and see a bright red t-shirt with a picture of green Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I look higher and see the face of Mario Bozic. He squints when he smiles. The rest of the kindergarten class groups behind him. A rusted swing set stands behind me. "What's your name?" Mario demands. "Tyler," I mumble. "That's a stupid name." He laughs and everyone laughs with him. "Shut up." Mario stops laughing and everyone stops with him. He stares for a moment before punching me lightly on the arm. "You're okay then. You can have some crackers if you want." In grade 2, Mario and I borrow my dad's Playboy magazines and teach our friends everything about girls. In grade 5, we beat everyone in Super Smash Bros. In grade 6, we reenact the Bee Gees' Stayin' Alive in the schoolyard. Mario performs it again at the talent show. I chicken out. In grade 8, Mario wins valedictorian and dances with Cary Grant. In high school, everybody knows Mario Bozic. He nicknames me Mems for my memory for weird trivia. It sticks. He wears a bathrobe on Civvies Day. I wear sweatpants. He hosts the Gonzaga High School news program and the talent show. I watch both. He lands the male lead in The Crucible. I attend the opening performance. He goes out for lunch with Vanessa Rosati. I never leave the cafeteria. He takes Alex Hutchings to the prom. I go alone. He wins valedictorian. Again. I help him write his speech. The corner table on the patio of Cucullin's Irish Pub seats its last two patrons, A pretty girl in a green apron flips chairs onto tabletops. "Last call, boys," she says. She brushes her hair back behind her ear and smiles at me. "Mems, you good for another beer? It's on me." Mario finishes up the foam at the bottom of his glass. He leans back, his shirt lifts, and his belly hangs out. "Yeah, man, but really, I got it." A glance at my watch and back at the girl in the apron. "All right, but what was I saying?" "Vanessa." "Yeah, man, I could have had her easily back then. She was smoking." He smirks. "For sure." I stare at my lap. "You still talking to that one girl? Annie?" "Hannah. And no, she blew it. Had to move on, man." I glance at my cell phone under the table. "Just like that?" "Just like that," I say. "That's what I love about you, man. You never give a shit." "I guess not. You gonna keep working at the hospital? Try and move up?" "Can't really move up from orderly. I'd need to study medicine." The girl in the apron brings us two more pints. The glasses read Alexander Keith's India Pale Ale with a brown stag underneath. She smiles at me again. This time, I smile back. "Right. So what are you gonna do?" "No clue, man. Maybe get into sales or something." Mario glances at the girl and then at me, raising his eyebrows. "I guess so," I grin. "Fuck all that anyway. Remember when I hooked up with Alex after prom?" "Yeah, man. Too funny."
That was The Coolest Kid in School, written and read by Tyler McLaren. That concludes Life Rattle number 1262. My name is Lori Callis. Life Rattle was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Achtman. Tune in next week to the Life Rattle Classics program to hear a treasure from our programming archive.